Alright, sorry, we had a little technical difficulty, but you're listening to You've Got Issues, and we have a guest from Hannah's leadership class, Andrew, who's here to join us. Thank you for coming.
Thanks
for having me.
Of course.
Excited to be here.
So, Hannah, want to start us off?
Yes. So, Andrew, I brought him to our show because he has some very clear and interesting and opposing, political beliefs compared to the rest of our school.
That's one way to put it.
And I found it interesting and fun, and I think he will give a different viewpoint than a lot of people will give. So, would you like to discuss your viewpoint at all?
Yeah, absolutely.
And don't feel free to say whatever you want. If you feel comfortable saying something, okay. Don't have to.
Perfect, yeah. My name is Andrew Rogafchik. I am a senior here at Lafayette. I'm a government law major and I've always just been pretty passionate about politics. I am very much a Republican, a conservative. 2 summers ago, I interned for the Republican National Committee's headquarters in Washington, D.C. And this past summer, I interned for Fox News Channel. So
awesome.
I'm pretty openly Republican and don't really shy away from expressing my Republican beliefs.
Good for you.
Which is hard to do on this campus.
It's
because
tough, yeah.
It is.
There are a lot of liberals here. I mean, I've said some things and gotten screamed back at, so
that I've witnessed.
That Aiden's witnessed. Yeah. I've actually gotten people that started crying, screaming back at me. So, yeah, it's hard, but it makes it interesting. And I think that there needs to be a more opposing viewpoint, and those people should speak out because it's not I don't think it helps anyone by just everyone hearing the side they constantly want to hear.
Right.
So, yeah, to add on to that, not only that, I feel like people that did vote for Trump on this campus feel reluctant to actually speak their opinion.
Exactly.
And they're scared to actually say that they did vote for Trump, which obviously you're allowed to say, if you feel strongly about
it's
him.
It's a free country, after all. I try to remind people of that pretty often.
Exactly. So, Hannah, do you have first question to start us off?
Your candidate won. Did you
he
expect
did.
That?
That's a good one.
Yeah, honestly, even as someone who did support Donald Trump, I was very surprised, positively surprised on election night. I had already, braced myself for the attack that I was pretty positive I was going to get from, the left and all my friends who voted for Hillary. A lot of my close family also voted for Hillary. So I was definitely expecting her to be the next president, but unimaginably surprised and excited at the results of the election.
That's great.
When I was here on campus, I was like, there is no way Trump could win. I just did not see it at all. And then I went home to vote. I was like, maybe he actually does have a chance, because here it's like you're in such a bubble.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Next question. What media outlets did you use to keep up on the election?
So like I said, I interned for Fox this summer, so I definitely watch Fox every day. But, I also think it's important to recognize, as I do, that Fox is obviously very right-winged. It's stupid to believe everything they say. Obviously, they're portraying a certain viewpoint.
Exactly.
So, I take everything that comes from Fox with a grain of salt. On top of that, I read the Times, because I think it's important to understand an opposing viewpoint. And obviously, the New York Times is pretty liberal. And also, I'd like to read Politico. I think it's, pretty bipartisan and pretty neutral. And solely, as obviously its name suggests, solely politics-based. So, I like to kind of have, a range of sources so that I can kind of understand that there is bias and account for it in a lot of ways.
So on the night of the election, did you watch CNN at all or any of those other Democratic channels?
With Professor Crane for our leadership class, Hannah and I had to do a live PBS broadcast.
Mm-hmm.
I was one of the results analysts, so I was live on PBS from 9 to 11. So the election, it started to come in as I was on camera that Trump was likely going to win. And then afterwards, I actually watched CNN because I liked, the map setup they had more. Fox, once they realized Trump was going to win, only had cameras on, Trump's victory speech after, and just commentators. They didn't have, a nice electoral map where they were still playing out possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
So surprisingly, I watched CNN on election night, yeah.
Yeah, I watched Fox and CNN.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw both of them, but it was weird because I was getting texts from friends at home too, Trump just won the state, but Hillary also won the state. But different channels were saying different things about.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, and it was also
I
noticed that CNN would also put predictions in for Hillary, and then I feel like some of their predictions went wrong. But what was I going to say?
Were you surprised at some of the states that Trump did win?
Honestly, I thought he would win Ohio, North Carolina, and Florida. Those were, three of the huge swing states the people said he needed to win. I was shocked he won Pennsylvania. I'm from Pittsburgh, so obviously being from PA and going to school here, I was really excited that he won PA. And then Michigan and Wisconsin, you know, I thought he might have been able to pull those out. You know, the Rust Belt with, like, a lot of blue-collar workers that he really appealed to. So I would say Michigan and Wisconsin, I was very surprised went red, and Pennsylvania, I think, was the most surprising for me.
Yeah, so in class, you talked about the blue-collar voter, yeah. And how you thought, from being from Pittsburgh, right, that mm-hmm. they were going to have a big turnout. Would you like to speak more on that?
Yeah, so like you said, this is obviously such a liberal bubble on this campus, so it was so nice for me personally, when I went home on fall break, that everyone in my neighborhood had Trump signs. Everyone around me had Trump signs. There's like one or two Hillary signs in my whole town. And Pittsburgh is a huge steel town. My family actually owns and operates a business in the steel industry. So Trump's like main appeal to a lot of Western PA voters in Ohio and Wisconsin and Michigan, a lot of the states he won, was like a blue collar worker appeal. You know, he's going to fight for the American, you know, middle class worker, steel workers, coal miners, those types of people, the type of people that Hillary, throughout her campaign, just openly, you know, denounced. She said in one CNN town hall that under her policies, a lot of coal workers were going to be losing their jobs. It was something that she, you know, was proud of, which blows my mind. So I think that's the main reason why so many people turned out in PA, that his economic policy really resonated with them. And for the first time since, I think it was 1988, with Ronald Reagan's reelection, Pennsylvania went Republican. It was pretty cool to see, pretty historic.
Yeah.
Pennsylvania was so close. Yeah. Like, that was like one of the last states. Yeah. Right.
I think it was the one that put him over the top.
Yeah, no, it did. I was very surprised about Florida in general, only because of comments that he had already said about Hispanics there. And Yeah. So I was very surprised about Florida when they announced it. But what was crazy was, like, during the PBS election, like, when I was going off, I kept saying to the results people, I was like, oh, like who's winning? Like, show me a map. And, like, all these states were red. And I was like, wait, like, this is not what people thought.
Right, that is not what MSNBC has been showing us every day for the past 10 months.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Yeah, I actually read an article about that, about how these newspapers are just not actually listening to the people, and they are just, like, basically making predictions based off of what they want. And I feel like that kind of does influence us all, you know, constantly reading Hillary's probably going to win. I would say, like, that kind of is like, should I just vote for Hillary then? Because
yeah, I think it's that, but it also discourages a lot of Trump voters, I think, you know, for what was it, 4 or 5 months, let's say, every single news outlet is saying Hillary's a shoo-in, she's gonna win, Trump's such a flawed candidate. I mean, I'm someone who's very involved with politics, but I could see how, you know, the more uninvolved voter would just say, I'm going to stay at home this year. You know, my vote doesn't matter. Hillary already has it in the bag.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So what do you feel about a third party? Like, what do you feel about people voting for not Hillary or Trump?
Right. I mean, personally, I think it's a wasted vote, but that actually hasn't gotten that much attention. Eric McMullen got 23% in Virginia, which was really shocking to a lot of people. And you have to look at who Gary Johnson and Jill Stein, the Libertarian and Green Party ticket candidates, you know, took votes from. You'd have to think that in a lot of ways they may have taken a lot of Hillary's voters, maybe some of the more like far left Sanders supporters who really, really disliked Hillary and thought she was such a flawed candidate. You know, in my opinion, I think a lot of them would have had to have voted for third party candidates, because even for a Republican, it's pretty surprising that Trump did win by such a landslide. So, yeah.
Did you support Trump from the beginning? Or was there another Republican?
Yeah, I like to say I supported Trump before it was cool to support Trump. Yeah. After his... So, I remember I was sitting in my office at the Republican National Committee, and we're watching Trump announce Trump for the presidency. I'm not sure I took him seriously that day, but as I started to watch some of the primary debates, and I just watched him, for all intents and purposes, you know, just baffle and make a fool out of the establishment, you know, Republican senators, governors, congressmen, people who have been doing this their whole lives are standing on a debate stage with Donald Trump, and he is just wiping the floor with them. And that's when I realized that he's bringing something so excitingly new and fresh to the table, and I was just very excited about him running for president and me being able to support him.
Was there any other Republican nominee in the beginning that you also supported, or
I liked Rubio.
Okay.
I think he'll be a big leader of the Republican Party as his career continues to unfold. not a big Chris Christie guy, but I kind of could have supported him if I needed to. And then everyone else was just a big question to me. Ben Carson, it looks like he took his Xanax before every debate. I hate to say, you know, straight stamina, Trump's always talking about, but he just put me to sleep. Jeb Bush. I wanted to support, you know, I'm a big Bush guy, but I think he probably cried himself to sleep every night after those debates. Trump just attacked him so hard. And then, you know, Huckabee, he's been running since like 08. He's just useless. Rand Paul, come on, he looks like Willy Wonka. I can't take him seriously.
I love it.
Yeah, so honestly, I think it was... There could have been, I think if Mitt Romney or Paul Ryan had run, they would have easily won the nomination, in my opinion.
That was going to be my next question. Yeah. So if you thought a better Republican nominee was in the running against Hillary, do you think that it would have been like easy?
I think it definitely would have been easy for them to win the primary, the Republican nomination, because like I said, the field was so weak in my opinion.
Yeah.
But I think maybe the race would have been a bit tighter with Hillary Clinton, because think about it, the Clintons have been doing this for 30 years, you know, three decades. They obviously know how to run a political campaign against a politician. They had, in a lot of ways, no answers for a lot of things Trump was doing. They attacked him a lot in his personal life, you know, some stuff he said in the past, but they couldn't critique him on policy. You know, that's just what they would have done. They would have attacked Paul Ryan, attacked Mitt Romney. So I think they easily could have won the Republican nomination, but I'm not sure they would have won the White House.
Yeah, I think if Mitt Romney ran and he won, it would have been like watching Obama and Mitt Romney all over again, because Hillary is such an extension to Obama.
Yeah, she was just running as his third term in a lot of ways.
Yeah, and that, I think that's what a lot of people had issues with, because feel like as great as President Obama has been, I would say, there are a lot of flaws, and people were tired of them. Obamacare, I mean, you can't continue that, it seems. It's going down the drain.
Yeah.
I think I read a statistic that it will raise, if it continues, it will raise, it will be $4,000 more per family this year, which is insane for a lot of families.
A lot of families, baffling.
So on top of those reasons, what you just said, why else do you support Trump?
I supported him initially just because, well, number one, I like a lot of the issues that I think he brought to the table and brought to the discussion that wouldn't have been talked about. Illegal immigration is something that I think our country really needs to work on and is going to work on under Trump, and it's something that just has been continually not talked about by the establishment in Washington. But like I said, I just think it was so amazing how he just completely uprooted the system, turned it upside down. He was self-funding. He didn't have an amazing ground game like typically you associate with running a good political campaign. You know, he was using his family as the speakers at the RNC, and Hillary has Michelle Obama, Joe Biden, Barack Obama. Mm. He was tweeting and Instagramming and going on Facebook and just saying bombastic things to get all this free media time. And Hillary Clinton has had like two press conferences in the past 2 years.
Yeah, she didn't even go around the United States that much.
I think Trump's just method of going after this was so unconventional, and I think that was scary to a lot of people, but to me, I thought it was just so commendable, and honestly, for lack of a better word, just kind of cool. You know, we were seeing someone run for the presidency in a way that has never been done in our lifetime.
So what do you feel about his views of building a wall?
So I think that we should maybe slide away from using the term wall. I definitely think we need to seal our border, but the physical landscape, the geography of the border makes a physical wall like basically impossible. So it'll be a wall in some areas, it'll be a fence in some areas, but also we just need to really increase the effectiveness of our border control officers. You know, that's just been neglected by the Obama administration as well. So yes, build a wall, build a border, mostly just stabilize our border and improve the effectiveness of our border security agents.
So did you study Lee Kuan Yew? Did you write an essay about
him? I did the paper.
Okay.
For that, yeah.
So in our leadership course, we had to study this man named Lee Kuan Yew, who was the old prime minister of Singapore, and he basically took the country from a third world country to a modern city country, more successful, better GDP than America has today. And I read a book that our professor gave us about to help me write the essay. And the book basically was give Lee Kuan Yew on giving advice to certain countries. So he gave advice to the United States, and his advice was, because of the popular vote, America needs a leader that doesn't, that isn't afraid to not get reelected, because that person is then going to face the real issues that keep getting pushed off, which you said. And when I was reading that, like, the whole time I was thinking, this reminds me of Donald Trump. And I'm hoping that that's going to be what he does for us.
Yeah, hopefully. And I think that every American should, I'm sure we'll get to this with some of your later questions, but I think every American should accept the outcome of the election, you know, accept that democracy has spoken, and just kind of, you know, move on with an optimistic view. You know, I don't think it does anyone any good for people to be hoping that Trump is a bad president.
Mm-hmm. I agree. So, what is your opinion on Hillary?
I'm just trying to filter this a little bit.
Is it more of a... I hate Hillary kind of thing, or is it more of a I'm Republican, so I'm going to vote for a Republican candidate kind of thing?
Honestly, it's a lot of both for me. But I think Hillary Clinton is the most corrupt candidate to ever seek the White House. I think she is just a nasty woman, to use Donald Trump's phrasing.
Here we go.
She just makes me cringe every time I watch her. I hate her cackle. I hate how she carries herself. She is a liar, and she should be in federal prison. She was the... Honestly, it's so nice that I was actually writing... I was applying for this job every day, and I was writing my aunt as a reference. I was applying to this job at the State Department because my aunt worked in Bill Clinton's State Department, and it's so nice that you don't have to specify when you say the Clinton administration, because there'll only be one. But I think Hillary was... the first lady during, obviously, one of the most scandal-ridden White Houses.
Yeah.
You know, with the Monica and Lewinsky stuff. And I think that it was really just pathetic that she went out there championing for women when she stayed with a man who cheated on her in the White House.
And raped women. Right. And then called those women terrible names.
Yeah, and then I think she was an ineffective senator for the state of New York. You know, she didn't really do anything terribly wrong, but she didn't get anything very significant done. And I think she was one of the worst Secretary of States in recent memory. She created a vacuum. I'm not going to say she created ISIS, but she definitely created, you know, a path for them to rise to prominence. She destroyed the Middle East for all intents and purposes. And also, it's important to note that, you know, you got to look at, I was talking to some of my friends, how do you think Hillary feels these days? You know, Professor Morell in our leadership class put it perfectly. Her sole purpose on this planet was to be the president of the United States, and she lost the Americans completely in 08 and now again in 2016, just completely and totally rejected the idea of Hillary Clinton. And, you know, a lot of people may laugh at me for hearing my opinion of her, but clearly that's the majority of America's opinion on Secretary
Clinton. Well, some may argue that the popular vote.
That's what I was going to say. So how do you feel about that?
I don't know about that. I was just reading this article the other day that like 3.5 to 4 million illegal immigrants voted, so the popular vote was very close, and it was under a million. I don't know. That's just some liberal. No. Like, people have been contesting the Electoral College for every election in the 19th, 20th, and 21st centuries. In 2012, Obama destroyed Mitt Romney and the Electoral College, but the popular vote was, I think, between 1 and 2 million, like, almost pretty similar to the elections of this result. I think that's a stupid argument, and useless.
This is actually one of my questions. So, do you think that the current election process should be changed?
I think that this election exposed a lot of issues with our two-party system here in this country.
Right.
I'm someone that's very, very right-wing fiscally. I'm someone that's pretty hardcore Republican in dealing with foreign affairs. But I think a misconception is that every Republican's a bigot. Mm-hmm. Two of my aunts are lesbians. I don't care about gay marriage. I'm fine with it being legal. Like, I'm pretty liberal.
And the other thing
on abortion, I went to a Catholic school my whole life, but it's no man, in my mind, it's no man's place to tell any woman what she can and can't do with her body. And it's sad that there's not really a candidate that reflects those viewpoints, you know?
Exactly.
If you're fiscally conservative and social liberal, I'm just going to vote for the Republicans because I think the economic well-being of our country is paramount to, you know, some people being offended.
That's such a talking point.
No,
I totally agree. I think that if there was that type of vote, candidate, a lot of people would be interested. Because I'm always like, Everyone's moderate at the end of the day.
I mean, everyone our age is pretty moderate.
Yeah, everyone.
Maybe not our parents.
Maybe not our parents, but...
I'm registered as an independent right now. Just putting it out there. But I feel like that's, like, a lot of people. Like, a lot of... Like, I was in the bullpen for PBS, mm-hmm. and a lot of... when we were going on our first rehearsal, like, they wanted to separate us between Republican and Democrat, and a lot of us... we're just, oh yeah, I'm independent. And there's like one Democrat, one Republican, right. and eight of us were
registered. It's just like the labels, you know? If you support one thing, if you think that TPP should be thrown out, you're a bigot. You're a xenophobe. Yeah. You're a homophobe. And like, I just hate the generalizations.
I think that there's also some misunderstanding. I mean, listen, I've watched the news. I hear what Trump says. He said some terrible stuff. But I also think... At the end of the... Well, yeah. And you know what, though? There are some people out there that would say he does nothing and he's perfect. But he is not at all. But I think there's also some misunderstandings. You know, his daughter converted to Judaism.
And he's very close with his son-in-law.
His son-in-law was like one of his top advisors.
Right. So any person who says he's an anti-Semitic is clearly just S-T-U-P-I-D.
Some of his top employees at his companies are women.
And illegal immigrants, which is funny, I think.
Oh, really? Really? I didn't know that.
He employs a lot of illegal immigrants, yeah.
Interesting. And, you know, I think it was Caitlyn Jenner was at his hotel.
Oh, God.
And she was like, where should I go to the bathroom? And he says, I don't care where you go. Like, these are just examples of, like, he's... lives in New York City. He's in the middle of all things progressive. I doubt he is that, like, under a rock type of person. I think he works his room.
He knew how to
run
a campaign. Yeah. He knew how to appeal.
He's a closer. He's a... Absolutely. I mean, every single business deal,
he's huge. Just tremendous success.
So, yeah, how do you feel about the fact that he's never been in... Like, he's only politics. Been, like, yeah, politics. Like, he's always been... business.
I don't know. I think he's been involved with politics for a while. I think that's he recognizes he almost gives him like a better perspective because he's been on the other side. He donated to Nancy Pelosi's campaign for the California Congress in I think like 2002. I think he donated to Hillary in 2008. So, you know, he's played this game. He understands like what it's like to be a special interest. Exactly what he was campaigning against. He was, you know, just under a decade ago. So I think, yeah, and maybe in a lot of ways, it's one of those arguments I could see how people could be scared. But this is a democracy. We have a cabinet. You know, we're seeing some of these cabinet positions being chosen this week. And he's going to surround himself with people who are insiders. You know, Mike Pence, I think, was a tremendous vice president pick. You know, he's definitely a member of the establishment who was a very effective congressman and now a great governor of Indiana. So I think, yeah, maybe it's a little scary, but we have a Congress. We have a cabinet. And at the end of the day, he's surrounded with enough smart politicians who know how to effectively run our country.
Are you worried about who... Probably not worried is the right word. Are you interested in seeing who he chooses for Supreme Court?
Yes. Yeah, for sure. That's something that I think he'll do pretty immediately upon entering office in January. I think that he'll definitely just... wipe out Eric Garland is the nominee that Obama nominated, so that'll probably go through the Senate, obviously be denied since the Republicans control the Senate. And then I was looking at his list the other day of, I think it was like in July, he put out that list of 20 people he would consider appointing, and I think that they'll just be very good conservative justices who will uphold conservative principles. But not overturned. This is something people don't get. Trump just said this in his 60 Minutes interview. Gay marriage in the next 8 years... The Supreme Court is such a slow process. Over the next 8 years, gay marriage and abortion are not going to be illegal again. Trump said he was, quote-unquote, fine with keeping gay marriage legal, and I imagine that he'll try to attack Roe versus Wade, but that's since 1986 when that court case was passed. No one's been able to overturn it. It is not going to happen in the next 4 years.
What about the funding of Planned Parenthood?
That's possible, but I personally support that, so I don't view that as an issue.
Why do you support that?
You already kind of said.
Yeah. I mean, abortion, again, is one of those issues I can really see both sides of. You know, I'm not going to sit here and tell you what you can or can't do with your body, but at the same time, I think it's repulsive that, you know, late-term abortions where the mother's life isn't in danger and she's just freaking out thinking she can't have a kid and is aborting a, for all intents and purposes, live fetus. I think that's very alarming. I obviously support, you know, rape and incest and hell for the mother exceptions, but I did go to a Catholic school my whole life. I'm not the most religious person, but my faith kind of leads me to believe to be a bit more pro-life.
Right. Yeah, I would say there should be definitely a time limit, but, I mean, as a girl who's my age, God forbid I ever got pregnant, I mean, I don't think I would be able to be a mother at all. I can barely drive a car right now. That's where
that's
I'm at.
That's very true.
And I obviously...
And that's why...
I think one of the things that I was saying personally about my views of abortion is I think that everyone should obviously do whatever they want. It's their body. But at the same time, I think the most messed up thing about abortion is how mothers are 6, 7, 8 months into their pregnancy and they find out that their child has autism, that their child has Down syndrome, and then they choose to have an abortion because of that. I think that's very messed up. And I personally think that abortion should be have a time limit. Like if you get pregnant, accidentally, I feel like a girl knows right away if you want to have an abortion. Yeah. Like within a month. Like, can you care for the baby? I mean, are you a teenager?
But it's definitely, it's more than that. It's definitely a huge emotional.
Oh, no, for sure. But I just think that if there's a live baby and.
Right. So I like what you said about Down syndrome or something. I don't really talk about this a lot, but you know, who cares? I'm feeling social tonight. So I'm an identical twin. And I think it was halfway through my mom's pregnancy, the synopsis revealed, they came back and told my mom, hey, we're so sorry, but it looks like you're going to be having one kid with Down syndrome. And because my parents are pretty, you know, pretty Catholic, pretty religious, they decided not to have an abortion. And then later synopsis is the right word, revealed that it was twins. Because I guess, you know, the technology in 1995 just wasn't that great. They couldn't really figure that stuff out so early like they know now. So abortion's kind of something that's pretty close to my heart because I don't think I'd be here today if it was as legal as it is today.
Yeah. Wow. That's an interesting view.
That's awesome.
Thanks for sharing that.
You're welcome.
Okay, so what is it like being a Republican on a liberal campus?
Oh, it's great. It's never a dull moment, honestly.
Never.
At times, it's a little... Well, I mean, right now, it's amazing. Absolutely. But I like to say humble in victory. Humble,
I have a question.
Humble in defeat, more humble in victory. What should I have been doing? But go ahead.
Do you live next to Gilbert's?
No, I live above Mojo Hill.
Next to Gilbert's?
Because there's a above Trump
Mojo Hill,
Pence.
You may no, I did have my Trump flag.
I
screamed through their window the day of the election and said, thank you, good to know there are some other smart people at this school.
Oh, gosh. Okay, so go on, sorry.
Oh, no, yeah, okay. So, it's fun. For some reason, just because of Facebook and stuff, and, you know, my two internships, everyone knows I'm a Republican. I'm always sharing controversial, so I always say links on Facebook. Al Wargo, that's A-L-W-A-R-G-O, if you'd like to see firsthand. But, you know, people attack me like no other on social media, and it is so aggravating. And I sit in this class. I say that the professors at this school, not all of them, but a great majority of them, really put the liberal in liberal arts education. I think it is pathetic.
Oh my gosh.
Pathetic that professors at this school think it's okay to sit in class and say that it's bad, it's scary that Trump won, and, you know, say that they support Hillary. I think professors should be apolitical.
I never knew that professors were not moderators.
Right. And then all these anti-Trump, not my president stuff in the library.
There's posters, for all that don't know, there's posters all around our campus right now saying not my president with, you know, some things that he has done that are
some of the
not good.
How did you feel about that when you saw those signs around campus?
Well, I'll get on to that later. Okay. But here's what I said. I'm not afraid to say this. And I think that's what you said earlier. A lot of people at the school who did support Trump feel that they shouldn't be able to say this.
Mm-hmm.
Paul McLaughlin, Medina students, sent out an email that said that, you know, this is a free country. This is a free school. We admire that students want to express their political beliefs and engage in this discourse, you know, exercising democratic rights. If you read the whole email, it said at the end that disciplinary action can be taken against you if you rip one of those signs down.
Nice.
If this is a free country and a free school, and that person is free to put those signs up in the library, I am equally free to tear that sign down. Equally free.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that may offend them if I tear that sign down. Well, hey, maybe that sign offends me. And honestly, it does. It's funny, but it's true. No, it's people don't say these things.
No, I'm trusting.
And I hope you're listening, Dean McLaughlin. I would love, oh, I would love to engage in this dialogue with you. I think it is really, really hypocritical and honestly demeaning to a lot of conservatives on this campus that they feel that their rights can't equally be exercised.
I think it's interesting because a lot of the extreme liberals on our campus feel like they're being attacked, but at this point, the people that are Republicans, are being attacked.
Absolutely.
They're the ones because, you know, we're all just sitting back like, you do you.
Right.
But God forbid.
The debate, the fight is over.
God forbid. I feel like, okay, so there were people passing
out. Are you
a
Republican, Hannah?
I guess you can say I am.
Did you vote? Who did you vote for?
Yeah, I voted. So.
Did you vote for Trump? Are you putting the fifth?
What? I don't know.
Okay.
So, what I'm saying.
That goes back to our point. You probably voted for Trump and it's afraid to say it.
That's what I said. Yeah.
There you go. So, what my thing is, you know, I'm sitting in class at the end of class and we have a very liberal class and.
Is this our class?
Yeah, this. No, this is our class.
We have a class.
Our class was good.
What class is this?
I don't want to say.
It's a FAMS class.
Okay. Yeah. And that says it all, yeah.
So, yeah. Not only have I just gone through
a
class.
No offense to FAMS majors. I love you, Leah and McCann.
Not, and Aiden.
And me.
I'm a FAMS
I'm
minor.
I'm a FAMS major.
I'm a minor.
Hey guys.
So, not only did I just sit through, in the past class, not only my professor crying, but also, basically, 80% of the students.
Also, you have to take account
actually
for the fact.
Crying.
Actually, like,
tears.
Hysterically.
About Trump's election.
Hysterically.
Hysterically crying.
But you have to also take into account that everyone that showed up that day, like, she made it, like, an optional class to, like, mm-hmm. come in and, like, speak about your views. Everyone in that class that day was a female except for one guy who didn't say anything the entire time.
There were two boys. Oh. One of the boys at the end of the class commended me for
oh, yeah, you went up to Hannah, like, high-fived her.
And the other boy was fighting me. So I'm the only...
Oh, yeah.
No. I was the only one in that class that was basically saying the world is not going to end and everything is going to be okay and there will be a future.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's the extreme we were at, and I was the only one that was opposing it because I was like, I'm not going to just sit here and let all of these people feel so hopeless. And, like, it's just, I don't think that helps anyone. I think
agree.
That just
it's
builds
useless.
Everyone up.
Yeah.
So then the next class, you know, they're passing it. They're like, here are posters to bring around class. I mean, if I ever brought posters that were, let's say, pro-Trump to the class, I think they would start screaming at me.
Oh, you saw
and
me
walk
in my
out.
Make America Great Again hat on election day, right?
No.
And
oh,
I
maybe.
Wore...
I might have. All right, go.
Yeah, wait, where were we? Oh, yeah. So, did you guys see that article that I think he's an econ professor here, accounting professor, is like an adjunct professor at Lehigh. Like might get fired is under all this scandal
oh, yeah.
because he bragged. I think this is pretty funny. He bragged. Only this part is funny. That he started class by bragging about the fact that he won a $10,000 bet with Trump's election, and then very very messed up. He looked at a Mexican student and said, "Are you going to go back to your country after this?" So everyone.
Wait, he goes here. He's
this was
but
at
it's
Lehigh.
People like him
at Lehigh.
He also teaches here.
It's people like him that ruin it for everyone.
You're right. Oh, so true.
Oh
amen
God.
To that. Retweet. But so everyone that's in the Lehigh Valley News, it's in the Lafayette, it's in the brown and white Lehigh's paper. Well, that professor that's crying in class should be under just as much scrutiny. That professor is just as outwardly portraying their views.
I was just. And then,
and you know, people say, "Oh,
I
don't feel safe.
Email.
I don't feel safe." Thank you. That's great. I don't feel safe in this guy's class. I would not feel comfortable sitting in a class where our professor was crying because
so
the candidate I supported for president is now the president.
Yeah,
that would make me feel really, really
God, I'm so
unsafe in class.
Yeah,
I know. I mean, I wrote her an email after class saying, you know, thank you for that. Giving that space for us to talk about, because you know it is nice to be able to go to class and talk about this huge thing that just happened
right.
in an educational setting. Usually, but then I was like, you know, you have to give a little bit of both sides to
right.
the story because
right.
this is, you know, you're talking to a group of students whose minds are totally not made
up
yet. Yeah, and we look up to them exactly. And I actually really commend our leadership professors for the way they led class because it was
a fantastic job. Yeah,
they were moderators. They were asking interesting questions.
Yeah.
They stayed calm.
They were apolitical.
And they were interesting. Yeah.
And they were willing to let everyone say something without making them
feel like badly. They, yeah, exactly. Yeah. 100% agree.
Next question. Okay. So what are your hopes for Trump? Like, what do you hope he accomplishes while he's in office?
So I'd like I said earlier, I really think that we need to tighten our border. I'd like to see the wall. I'd like to see a crackdown on Syrian refugees coming into this country.
Wait, yeah, let's go back a little bit. What's your view on Syrian refugees?
So I'm actually doing my senior thesis.
Are you a policy studies major?
I'm a gov law major, yeah.
Oh, wait, you said that, sorry. Okay.
Yeah, no worries. I'm doing my thesis on Central Europe, the Visegrad group, so the countries of Poland, the Czech Republic, Hungary, and Slovakia's response to the migration crisis. Okay. And these four countries, I was mostly inspired to do this because I spent last semester in Prague and in the Czech Republic. So these four countries have taken up very like similar Trump stances, if you will. They're very anti-immigrant, want to tighten their borders, are very skeptical of Muslim refugees being able to integrate into their societies, lots of Islamophobia driving this. And obviously, like Hannah said, there's people out there who ruin it for everyone. Like anyone, any white American who in the past week since Trump's election has committed a hate crime against Muslims is ruining it for everyone. Those people are uneducated, stupid, and yes, it's okay to call those people bigots because they are. But I'm not an Islamophobe. I'm not a bigot. But I think the threat of Islamic terrorism is real. I think it's something that we need to be skeptical of. And without a way to vet these refugees, you know, if you're a displaced person from Syria and your house was bombed and you had to, you know, run with your family to save your life and you're migrating to Europe, you don't have documents. There's no way to check where you're coming from, who you are, what your intentions are. So I think it's, again, almost like abortion, one of those issues I can really see both sides. Like, obviously, I feel for that. My heart breaks for any, you know, families that have been broken apart by this, children who've lost their parents in this and are being forced to try and find a new home. But I think our national security should trump offending some people. Mm-hmm. Possibly offending some people.
And I think that if you want, like, people should want to come to America. They shouldn't be coming here because, I mean, obviously we want to help people, but I actually heard from a person whose family's from Syria, and she said her family thinks the best thing to do is, if America wants to help, is for Americans to go into Syria and help, because them coming here would just be misplaced. And I think when you have people coming to your country, you want them to be coming because they believe in the American values and are not just coming here as a haven to create their own space. Like, you should want to come here to be able to integrate into our country.
Right.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah. It's just hard, obviously. Like, I don't know. Once I agree with you, I see both sides of it. Obviously, I think that we should help them at kind of, like, I mean, I feel like that we should have open arms towards some of them, because I feel like if the United States were ever in this position, we would want to go somewhere else too. Yeah. But I do understand people's point of views where they're scared because of what is happening across the sea. So it's a hard topic. Yeah, it's a hard topic.
Yeah, like one of my best friends on this campus is an international student from Morocco, a Muslim. My next door neighbor, one of my good friends, is a Muslim from Istanbul, Turkey. It's something that I don't like discussing with them because people are so quick to, you know, label me as the adjectives I said earlier. I'm not an Islamophobe. I have a lot of Muslim friends, but, you know, it's just one of those issues that I just think our national security should take priority.
Yeah, I think it's almost like America needs a break. You know, we need to, like,
America first for once.
Yeah.
Right. So what do you think of Trump's tax plan?
I think it will be maybe not immediately effective, which obviously will garner a ton of criticism, but I think, you know, throughout the 4 years that we will see an increase in jobs in this country and a significant lowering of our national debt under Trump's tax plans.
Yeah, I mean, He's going to lower taxes across the board, right.
Which I think
and
great.
Hillary's was raise. Only partly, and Trump, it's all about everyone is going to be lower. I mean, who knows if this will actually happen? Who knows if this will help? But it's definitely a more positive outlook.
Yeah, it's also difficult with tax policy and proposals. Difficult to think about the hypotheticals. Like, in theory, it may be great, as we saw Obamacare maybe in theory was awesome, but once it's implemented, you know, we see some loopholes exposed and see some issues that weren't immediately obvious. So I guess we'll just have to see with the tax plan. I think it looks good, looks promising, but we'll have to see how it turns out once implemented.
And what do you think Trump will be like as a president overall?
I think that all this polarization, hate, schisms, divides, whatever you want to call them, everything that has gone wrong with our country throughout the past 17 months, 20 months, throughout the campaign season, I think eventually will be fixed. I think Trump, he just tweeted out yesterday that he's going to unite all Americans. It sounds pretty crazy, but I think he will, you know? I think he's going to be so successful of a president, economically, foreign policy-wise, that after 8 years, I do believe he'll get reelected, that we will, all Americans will laugh that we even had this talk, and we'll be saying, I can't believe we were so skeptical of Trump because he did so great.
Yeah, I mean, definitely since winning, he has sent out the message time and again.
He's changed his tone, finally.
He is trying to just unite this country for the people that are saying terrible comments and making racist slurs, which, you know, I would say he definitely had influence on those comments because he, you know, for months he made them. And he shaped his voter in a way. But he told them to just stop in his 60
right.
minutes.
Stop it, he yeah. said, yeah.
And he, like, so I think, I hope that helps. And I'm very hopeful for the future.
You have to be hopeful at this point, I feel like.
Yeah.
There's just, I agree with the fact that people have to just stop, like, protesting. Like, it's really just not going to change the fact that he is president.
I know. I mean, every day I see on Facebook different ways to get him out of being president.
And I'm like,
I saw a petition the other day of sign this so we can elect Hillary in next March or something. Yeah. Like, really weird.
It's honestly stupidity. That's what it comes down to. You are making a fool of yourself if you are protesting this election.
You it's are over at this point.
It's over. People you were the polarization I was just talking about, the hatred. All these liberals, all these Trump haters who are storming the streets are just prolonging this hatred. Let's move on. Let's try to unite. There's nothing you can do that's not going to make Trump president on January 20th.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to accept the outcome of the election, accept that democracy has spoken, accept the voice of the American people, move on with your life, and just hope for the best. I was pissed Obama was elected in 08. I was even more pissed when I was old enough to realize how bad his re-election was for my family and other people in our situation. I didn't protest. I didn't post on social media hateful things about our president. I just became more passionate about Republican politics. And my protest was at the ballot box on November 8th when I cast my vote for Donald Trump. I wasn't burning American flags.
Right.
I said, I'm going to do everything I can to change the way our political system is working.
And that's what I think is also funny about this campus, because there are so many outspoken people, but I would say a lot of them didn't even get their vote out.
Half the people that are protesting probably didn't even vote.
And that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And I mean, because the millennial turnout was very low, so
I think it was like 90-10 Hillary Clinton, Trump. It makes me scared for our future. Ooh, whenever we're parents, you know? Oh, then I'll be really outnumbered.
Do you think that he will be reelected in 4 years?
Just said that.
Oh, he did. Sorry.
I mean, right now my answer is yes. I guess I can answer that question maybe a bit more accurately in a year or two. But right now, the amount of voter turnout that he got and this base that he rallied and this group of people that he just gave a voice for the first time in so long, they're not going anywhere. So I would think so. Which, you know, makes you wonder, what's his slogan going to be? Keep America great? Make America greater? You know?
Make America greater.
We'll have to see. I just cannot imagine him running as an incumbent. It's going to be crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any last questions, Han?
I did have one, but... Oh, did you see SNL Dave Chappelle talk?
I saw it.
I think, okay, so Dave Chappelle did the opening monologue for SNL this Saturday, and he is a black comedian, and I thought his viewpoint was interesting. It was down to the point, it was fair, and it was hopeful, and I think that is the correct mindset. You know, it gave Obama some credit, and then it took away some credit from Obama. It gave Donald Trump some credit and then took away. And I think everyone should go and watch that, because that was really eye-opening, and because I think a lot of people could see someone like him just so pro Hillary, and it was nice to hear.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah.
For sure.
I think, can I get some advice? Is that okay?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I did another thing like this for someone's film and media, like making media project, which is talking about the election. And they asked me, what would your advice be to people who are protesting? What would your advice be to discontented liberals? Here's my advice. Go watch, maybe that's something good to watch, that SNL skit, but go watch your candidate. Go watch Hillary Clinton's concession speech.
Right.
And President Obama's speech the
next
morning.
And that's what I said in my email to my professor. Right. I was like, both of these, the president and the losing candidate, have message of hope and give Donald Trump a chance. So go and listen to them if you are so into them and on their side.
Yeah, I think Clinton said we owe Trump a positive,
a chance,
something, and a chance to lead. And
right.
We do at this point, we owe him at least a chance. If he is turns out to be the worst president ever, if there's continued race riots in this country, if 2 years from now this is a significantly worse off country than it is right now, I'll be happy to accept their argument and admit I was wrong. But at this point, they're in the wrong, and they just need to suck it up and move on with their lives.
I mean, I think it is hard for some people, though, because some people, due to what Trump has said, what Pence believes in, feel personally attacked. And I feel really badly for those people,
right,
that
yeah,
they feel
to.
So... what's the word? Like, they've just
I'm
feel,
sure they're scared for their future.
Yeah.
Like, my heart breaks for an immigrant child who one of their parents could be getting deported, but I don't know. You can't please everyone.
Right.
There's not going to be an election where the day after all of America's pumped.
Right.
You
and
know?
The other thing is, what I was going to say, is that I think if Hillary had won, I don't think there would be this outrage of Republicans going crazy, because I mean, obviously I'm socially liberal, but I think at points it becomes this crazy thing, and it's way too much and way too overbearing. Mm-hmm. And I really don't think that Republicans would have done that.
Yeah.
I agree. Very much so.
We have 10 minutes.
Yeah.
We can end early if...
But nonetheless, it was quite the exciting campaign season.
Oh my gosh,
was,
very much
it
so.
It was cool, you know, whether you love Trump, hate him, love Clinton, hate her, it was very cool to witness a historic election at such a young age.
Like,
we will tell our kids about this.
Oh, for
They'll
sure.
They'll read about it in history books in high school, you know. It's very cool to have lived through this. And it was the first time I was ever able to vote in an election, so pretty crazy to think that my first vote was part of the silent majority, if you will.
Yeah, I'm so happy that that was my first election, because you know what, this election, if anything, was entertaining, and I think it captured a lot of the younger people tuning in. And like, mm-hmm. I don't think that if it was Mitt Romney versus Obama, you know, I would just wouldn't be as interested. And now I feel like I've learned so much, because I've seen so much, I've heard so much, I want to find out more. And I don't know, maybe that's me maturing, but I think it has a lot to do with, like, just the entertainment of this election.
Right.
And
it's just something everyone's always talking about, so you don't want to be that person that my one friend from home, they every day asked me if Trump was a Republican. You know, you don't want to be that person.
Right.
You don't need to know everything about politics, but I think it's important for kids our age to, you know, understand basic differences between candidates so they can actually advocate for their position with knowledge of it, you know, not just
right.
one Huffington Post article they read.
And the other thing is, you know, I will talk to people and we'll talk about our opinions, and if you're just saying you're voting for a certain politician without really knowing any facts besides something you heard via Facebook, you just are the one that now sounds dumb. And
right.
you are the one that sounds like the weak, like, you have the weaker candidate, because that person is just going to out-Trump you, you know? Like, they're just going to take you out. And I think I kind of saw that, I feel like, when you did a video for us about the young voter, and we were going through the clips, and we basically had a round table, and you were the only Republican, and the rest were Democrats.
I was going to say, back when people thought I was crazy, but...
What?
Back when people thought I was insane.
Yeah, but
Trump.
We were watching it, and it was like, you against three other people, and every single time it seemed like your opinion was just, it was just so much more knowledgeable and backed with facts that it just kind of blew away their opinions.
Right. And that's also something that throughout the course of this campaign, you know, like talking with other people who disagreed with me, I really take offense when people say the people who voted for Trump are, you know, the labels are one thing, the bigot, I can get over that. I know I'm not, I can sleep at night. But I hate when people say that I'm uneducated because I voted for Trump. Like, come on, we all go to Lafayette College. Yeah, we're all right. Very smart, young individuals.
You know, there are smart people that voted for Trump, and there are smart people that voted for Hillary.
And there's stupid people voted for both.
Exactly.
And I'm a type of person that would never ruin a friendship based off political views. And
yeah,
it's
that's
crazy
pathetic.
To me that people, like, unfriended me on Facebook.
Are you serious?
Think that they can't, like, talk to me. The day after the election, I was wearing my Trump hat still, just because I obviously had to rub it in for half a day. Then I decided that that wasn't helping anything either. I held this door for this girl. She looks at me, she goes, not if you're wearing that Trump hat, and takes the other door. Come on, move on with your life.
Oh, my gosh.
I just don't get it.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Insane. And I'm also, I think with Trump, it's like, no one really knows what he's going to do, and I think that's really exciting.
He's not even president yet.
Because I think if Hillary was in, everyone would have a good idea of what the office would look like, what the White House, what they would be doing in the future. But with Trump, everything is a little bit blurry, and it kind of makes it exciting, like, what is going to happen next.
Right.
And
much suspense.
I don't think it's in a bad way of what's going to happen next, but... Mm. Yeah.
I agree.
So, thank you for coming in.
Thank you so much.
This
was a really great point of view.
Yeah,
I had a lot of fun.
Of course.
What's the show's name? We have You Got
Issues.
You Got Issues.
So, usually.
I'm sure a lot of listeners are thinking that about me. Yeah. I do.
Thank you so much, though,
for
coming.
We're like the blind leading the blind.
I know.
A little bit. We're pretty good, though.
Yeah, for sure. All right, guys, thanks so much for listening. Hannah and I, we have Thanksgiving break here next week, so we will not be on, but we'll be on in 2 weeks.
Thanksgiving, we need to just do a big catch-up episode.
We have a lot to talk about after Thanksgiving, because we have 2 weeks, and then the end of the semester is over after Thanksgiving.
It's
so
crazy. I can't believe I have one semester of college left.
How was it choosing your last semester of classes?
Honestly, awesome, because I'm done with my major, so I was just, like, picking random classes. Like, oh, that sounds interesting. Like, Religion 101 sounds great.
Yeah, I hear
so
a lot.
So it's nice to, like, be able to
relax
a
little
bit.
Seniors like that class.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. All right, guys, thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you in 2 weeks. You just listened to WJRH 104.9 FM, Lafayette College Radio in Eastern Pennsylvania. I'm Aiden Trevison.
And I'm Hannah Darrow.
And you just listened to You've Got Issues. Thanks, everyone.
Night.